If you've been to the Big Island, chances are you've heard it. We're talking about the Cokie frog. One rogue amphibian apparently made a pest of itself in Manoa Valley this month, but was captured. On Hawaii Island, though, the infestation has been worst in the low-lying areas, but the tiny Puerto Rican critters have been slowly moving up to Kilauea. In this episode of the National Park Service's Voices of Science podcast, we see how they are trying to keep the little frogs out of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park with the help of the conquistador.
So when you look at that, what do you see?
When I look at it, I just see a little frog, a noisy little frog.
For the National Park Service, I'm Brittany Connell, and you're listening to Voices of Science.
I just caught one, so you can see one. Where's it? Oh, there on the ginger. They love this kind of vegetation. This is kind of how they hang out. You have a search image.
This is Kim Dillman, biological resource technician for Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And tonight, Kim is talking about getting a search image for frogs, Hawaii's invasive Cokie frog. Kim holds the frog by the leg. It's about the size of a walnut. She shines her headlamp on it so we can get a better look.
They come in different colors of orange and brown, tan. Sometimes they're really dark and mottled. And sometimes they sort of change their color depending on the vegetation that they're in.
Kim puts the frog in a plastic bag and marks the tree with some flagging. She zeroes in on another frog that's calling.
You got him.
Oh, that's a biggie. Yeah. Okay, and you can see him blowing up his throat, too, when he calls. Can you see him?
In the past few years, Cokie populations have exploded. Lower elevation areas have been hit the hardest, but the infestation is steadily marching upslope toward Kilauea. Kim is mapping the spread of the frogs inside the park, and she's working hard to prevent them from moving into areas that are currently Cokie-free. When she finds infested areas, Kim traps the frogs or sprays a solution of citric acid to kill them. People around here have a special name for her.
Oh, the conquistador? I'm just the Cokie lady. I'm just the frog lady around here.
20 years ago, the first Cokie frogs hitched a ride to the islands on some potted plants, then dispersed into the native forests. Because they're prolific breeders, the frogs quickly invaded the ecosystem. Now the park is trying to eradicate the Cokie, partly because their loud calls have become a big problem for the island's residents. But when you hear them for the first time, that can be hard to understand.
It is worth mentioning that in their home range in Puerto Rico, they are cherished.
That's David Benitez, ecologist at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. For the past 16 years, David has been monitoring invasive species in the park. He says there's a dramatic difference between the native populations of Cokie frogs in Puerto Rico and the non-native populations here in Hawaii.
The difference is that they're part of the ecosystem. They evolve there and they tie into the food web and their food and prey for snakes and lizards, and they serve a purpose. Here, it's a different story. Here, there are no ground-dwelling mammals, no snakes, no frogs, nothing that could really directly compete with or predate on Cokie frogs. And as a result, they can they thrive and flourish here and achieve densities roughly threefold what they do in their native Puerto Rico.
It's estimated that in Hawaii, Cokie populations can reach densities of up to 50,000 frogs in an area about the size of a city block. David says the sound of thousands of frogs in a relatively small area like this can be intense. This is a pretty big change from the quiet nocturnal soundscape that Hawaii was once known for.
And Cokie frogs shatter that quiet in their invaded habitats. They so dramatically alter the soundscapes.
Hawaii's ecosystems evolved in extreme isolation. That isolation created insects and birds and other animals that are simply found nowhere else on Earth. And those species? They evolved in a nocturnal soundscape without frogs. Soundscapes where they could use sound to communicate with each other and to sense what was going on around them. Now, with the native nocturnal soundscape drowned out by the koki chorus, it's harder for those animals to hone in on their familiar sound cues. Sound cues that are critical for survival.
Research also suggests that koki frogs achieve such a density that they alter ecosystem properties, mainly the nutrient cycling in the invaded forests. And in turn, those changes in nutrient cycling may further favor invasion by other plants and animals, contributing to further degradation of the system.
Koki frogs are also voracious eaters.
And that's a problem for the native insect communities and also the species that depend on those insects for pollination or for food, such as the native birds of Hawaii.
They have special ecological areas where they try to keep all the vegetation native, and we're also trying to prevent the koki from getting there. And those are the areas that we can do something about because they're not infested yet.
Voices of Science is produced by the National Park Service in cooperation with the Acoustic Atlas at Montana State University. Our staff includes Jennifer Jarrett, David Restivo, Sarah Molina, and me, Brittany Connell. To learn more about the park, visit nps.gov/havo.
That was an excerpt from the Conquistador, an episode of the National Park Service's Voices of Science podcast. For links to more episodes, visit our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.